with the New World Report with my colleagues, Ernesto Araújo, former foreign minister of the Republic of Brazil, and Joseph Umar, the executive director of Secure Free Society. Quite fantastically now, we go to Colombia, where the new president is troubled by gangs, gun-toting gangs. I read from Bogota in these last days. Colombian President Gustavo Petro said he had suspended a ceasefire with the Clan del Golfo, the country's largest criminal organization, because it had attacked police. I have ordered the armed forces to reactivate all military operations under the Clan del Golfo, said Petro in a tweet. We will not allow them to continue sowing anxiety and terror in the communities. The ceasefire with the Clan was part of efforts to end the group's part in Colombia's internal conflict, which has killed at least 450,000 people. Ernesto, I started with you because, quite apart from Schadenfreude, Petro was to be part of the wave of center-left governance. But you have long acquainted me with the fact that one of the most powerful gangs in all of the Americas is a Brazilian gang. So this setback for Petro, does it also mean a setback for the other governances, especially Lula da Silva, that the gangs are outside of the reach of the left of center leadership?
Oh, yes. The gangs are out there, and they are having a good day under those governments. Under different pretenses, the governments are telling the people that, oh, they are going to provide more security or not. But what you see in reality is the opposite, is the gangs taking over. In Brazil, now one whole state, the state of Rio Grande do Norte, northeast Brazil, is in the hands of criminal gangs. The government, central government, is thinking about maybe intervening in the state. For 1 week now, they are running the show there. The gangs are running the show in the whole Brazilian state. There are, of course, speculation, no proof that there is a strong connection between the Lula government and the gangs. But the fact is that the gangs feel much freer to act now in Brazil. Maybe that's the case in Colombia under Petro as well. Cui bono, right? So what is the benefit of having governments that are so soft on crime? President Lula is all the time saying, oh, the police is the problem. People fear the police. The police kills, and that's always in the sense of taking popular support away from law enforcement forces. So you have to ask if all those things in Colombia and Brazil elsewhere happen by chance. I don't think so. I think there is an articulation of behind the scenes, of course, an articulation between left-wing governments and organized crime.
Joseph, you've spent a deal of time in Colombia in these last years, and you traveled to the border between Venezuela and Colombia and identified that the gangs move freely back and forth the government. And before Petro, when it was Iván Duque president, the understanding was the Venezuela government vouchsafed or endorsed or supported these gangs as a way of destabilizing Bogota. So I want to focus on the disappointment that Bogota must now experience with Petro making this announcement. Was this hard for him to reverse course, to name the gangs again as a threat to his sovereignty? Does this disappoint all of Colombia?
You know, I think he is essentially finding out that it's a lot harder to govern than it is to actually put forth campaign slogans and promises. And in that, what he's finding out is that these criminal organizations, as much as you may want to give them some level of room to negotiate or to come to some sort of peace agreement, that they're never going to abandon their criminal activities because that's their lifeblood. And in this case, the Gulf Clan, he created a ceasefire with the Gulf Clan while he was trying to negotiate his peace deal with the ELN, another narco-terrorist group in Colombia, under this banner of total peace in Colombia. What he found is the Gulf Clan basically used that as an opportunity to take up more territory and to impose their control over segments of Colombia. In fact, John, I was speaking with some friends in Antioquia, which is a region, a department on the western side of Colombia near the Caribbean in Panama, where the Clan of Golfo is very prominent. And they were telling me that the Clan El Golfo in specific cities in Antioquia in this department, they impose the curfews, they impose the law, they impose the control of those territories, and the police do nothing, or they're not even confronting them at all. And so I think that this is something that the Colombians have basically started to see and claim to. And now it's becoming a national problem, national headache for President Petro. Some of the data that we want to look at, I mean, this is like, I'll give you one data point, which I think really kind of tells the story. This isn't about cocaine necessarily. This is about heroin, but it's still nonetheless in January of 2022. So a year ago before Petro was president, there was 101 kilos of heroin that were confiscated by the Colombian authorities, 101 kilos. In January of this year, 2023, which, you know, obviously is President Petro, 6.9 kilos have been confiscated, a dramatic decrease. And this is just kind of the standard that's going around. You see a 20% drop in the amount of eradication, a 31% drop in the size of hectares that are being eradicated of coca. And so you're seeing this effort of Gustavo Petro to put forth this banner of peace. And what he's really doing is giving impunity to criminal groups, and they're taking advantage of it.
Joseph, the other gangs, the FARC and the ELN, have they retired? Do they have an alternative source of income, or do they remake themselves with new acronyms?
No. They're not retired at all. The dissidents of the FARC, their leadership was badly hit because they got in a drug war with the ELN and other criminal groups, and some of their leadership took the worst of it. But they're still very active and operating their efforts, and especially in the cocaine trade. The ELN is still very active, and I'd say probably they're the strongest narco-terrorist group in Colombia today, controlling swaths of territory in the southern part of the country along the border with Venezuela, not just involved in cocaine, but also involved in illegal mining, also involved in contraband, also involved in human smuggling. And then there's other groups that are emerging, like we were talking about the Gulf Cartel. There's another group from Venezuela called the Tren de Aragua, which specializes in human smuggling and human trafficking. And all these groups have safe haven in Venezuela. So they're all operating in Venezuela. In fact, the ELN is now reported not just to operate on the Colombia-Venezuelan border, but also operate on the Guyana-Venezuela border on the eastern side of Venezuela. So they're still very active. They're still very strong. You just don't hear about them as much because there isn't, as I was saying a second ago, there isn't much effort by the Colombian government to go after them. And so there isn't much news to report.
Ernesto, quickly here at the close, we have about a minute. An odd headline. How to interpret it? U.S. would handle an extradition request for Brazil's Bolsonaro expeditiously. When you heard that, what does it mean? The U.S. wants to extradite a president to Brazil?
Well, John, it could only happen if Brazilian justice requests an extradition of former President Bolsonaro. And I think we're not anywhere near that. It's strange because people say, oh, Bolsonaro is going to be arrested and he must be arrested. But there's no formal accusation, no formal procedure in that sense. So I think that's a political gesture of the Biden administration to say that, because they want to, right, to pass a negative signal. Yes.
Ernesto Araújo, it was a Reuters headline, but right now, just a headline. Ernesto Araújo, former foreign minister of the Republic of Brazil, Joseph Vollmaier, executive director of Secure Free Society, 20 years ago, a Marine on the jump line in the beginning of the Iraq War. This is CBS Eye on the World, the New World Report. I'm John Bashley.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.